Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Covering our bases on three great signals, 105.5, 97.5, and AM 1560. We are the Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hour number three, Carolina Flooring Specialist, My Garage Flooring Specialist, 404-8158. I remember when Tim Worley came over and measured, gave me an estimate, and the guys came over, and I've done two garage floors with them now. We love it. We love being outside. And I got to tell you now, yesterday we opened up the garage doors for about the fifth day in a row, and Drake plays in the garage. And while he goes out and gets muddy in the yard, and he gets muddy in the, pebbles and all this all over everywhere in the garage, man. We like keeping them there sometimes because it's just clean and safe and nice, and we just feel better in there. So our garage floor is amazing. Yours can be as well. Carolina Flooring Specialist. Call them today, 404-8158, 404-8158. Never would have thought I'd spend this much time in my garage, but we spend hours in it right now as a result of all this. To our guest lines from TigerIllustrated.com and the guy that is, I'm sure, the father of the year so far, Mr. Paul Streetla.
Is that in terms of volume or?
Well, no, I can see you. I know you well enough, and I know the family that you guys have, and I can see you just being this super dad right now, man. As so many guys are trying it and they're failing at it, but I don't know, man. I see you doing very well at this. How are things at the household?
I don't know that if you're trying, you're failing, one way or the other. So, things are good at the Streetlow household. Our oldest turned 16 yesterday, so it's kind of weepy, sentimental moments going over here. But things are good. We're enjoying time together.
Let's get to this class. I kind of want to talk about the board a little bit, kind of reset a little bit. But let me get a big picture thought. We're trying to figure out this current situation with COVID-19 and what all looks like, the schools being out and all these things. Have you had trends, guys pushing things back, guys speeding things up? Have you noticed, any kind of big story, big picture items out there as far as this situation that currently confronts us?
Well, I think like we've said before, I think you have some who've sped it up, some who have delayed, and it's really a case-by-case basis. You go over last week, and there were 25, I think, power conference commitments. South Carolina has gotten a couple over this couple-week span. As far as Clemson specifically, pertaining to them, I don't think it has sped up the process really with anyone there. I think the eyes are kind of on Will Shipley, the high four-star running back out of Matthews, North Carolina, as far as he had that a visit to Notre Dame that was kind of the big one to check off for them, and then he had planned to return to Clemson shortly thereafter for spring practice, really tomorrow. And the thought was that he would kind of have a decision coming off those. And now it kind of turns to, right now, Shipley, is just kind of on pause. The idea is he will, wants to wait it out and take that Notre Dame visit before he, and probably return to Clemson one more time before he makes a decision. But if it looks like this moratorium on visits extends for a long, long time, I think that could easily prompt him to go ahead and go forward with a decision. Or, he may just come to the conclusion, hey, all right, I feel comfortable. I know where I want to go. Let me go ahead and kind of pull the trigger. So, it's a case by case. I can't say I've seen a huge trend one way or the other. But, I think more guys are intending to wait things out and see how they go. But, it kind of depends on where they are in the process already, what their offers are, and who's really pushing for them.
Caleb Williams came out with a top five the other day, the five-star quarterback from the Washington, D.C. area. And you've talked about this before, the difficulty in signing back-to-back number one quarterbacks in the country and five stars and all this kind of stuff. It seems to be a tall task, but at least they're in the conversation, Paul. Is that maybe the best way to put it, that they kind of says a lot about your program if you're even considering or in consideration for doing this kind of feat?
Yeah, you know, they are in the conversation and have been, really even predating when they offered last October. You know, I do think that the shadow of DJ Uiagalelei looms large there compared to other competitors. He's coming off an Oklahoma visit where some people were kind of even watching, would he commit then? But the idea from the Williams camp for a while is they want to carry this into the summer. They're not ready to make a decision yet. So I still don't put odds in Clemson's favor, and he's a difficult recruit to read a little bit in terms of his communication with different schools and why he kind of almost intentionally wants to drag things out. There have been different leaders at different stages, so that also leads you to wonder, you know, if it's truly done for Oklahoma, because Georgia led for a number of months last summer. LSU seemed to be the school through last season until Joe Brady left. So I don't know that it's done for Oklahoma, but I think they have the best shot. And then you got LSU and Clemson probably in that next tier, and you can kind of debate the order there. I think if Clemson did not have DJ right there in the class ahead of him, I think Clemson would probably be the school. But recruiting quarterbacks are different, and extenuating circumstances here.
What could Clemson's pitch be that you mentioned several times, and it's got to be a huge shadow that DJ cast through this? What could their pitch that Brandon Streeter and Dabo Swinney trying to sell to Caleb Williams?
Well, for the first thing would be, you know, all right, as you're making your decision, first off, you know, as you're looking at things, forget depth charts. And somewhat because you don't know how things are going to play out. You know, there are, you know, I don't think you frame it this way, but I don't think you say that, hey, there are five stars who don't live up to their billing. And, you know, Brandon Streeter, who is the quarterback's coach, is a great example of, you know, people expected him to, be behind higher ranked guys when he was at Clemson, and he fought his way through and ended up being the guy. You know, and we've seen circumstances or situations before where higher-ranked quarterbacks gave way to lower-ranked guys who just outperformed them, you know, for one reason or another. And so I think you kind of go that route. You know, you start off with, you know, take everything else off the table. You're going to compete with good guys wherever you go. Spencer Rattler's at Oklahoma, LSU. They've got bringing in T.J. Finley and a couple quarterbacks. You're going to face competition wherever you go. What place is right for you? And so I think that's really where a big area where they've resonated with Williams is, here's what we can do for you as a person, you see the development of our quarterbacks over time. You know, here's what we're doing with your major and off the field and paw journey and all that. And I think all that really appeals to Williams and his family.
As you can tell, my 13-month-old Drake just joined in from waking up, and he says, "Hey, Dad." So he might have a recruiting question or two for you there. Is it at running back, Paul, right now, is it as simple as Will Shipley or bust, or could that board be expanded for an oversign?
Oh, I think it's as simple as Will Shipley or bust. You know, I think they've got more than sufficient scholarship numbers at the position right now. And I don't think the intent was to take two running backs, but I think what they saw out of Will Shipley at the Dabo Swinney camp in June, you know, really just kind of added to his appeal and said, hey, we want him. We see that this guy not only is a talent fit, but he checks a lot of the boxes for us. He's a guy that would really thrive, you know, in our program. I think that's kind of why they circled him and said, and Dabo Swinney signed off on Tony Elliott continuing to recruit him and go after him, and just because there's differential talent there, but also, you know, he fits the pro. You know, we talk about guys who are fits and aren't fits. He's one who that You just you feel like he's a guy that would that fit right within Clemson's culture and kind of the way that it wants to present itself.
Paul Shuler is our guest, TigerIllustrated.com, talking Clemson football recruiting. Shipley is mentioned a lot, and I think Troy Stellato is kind of mentioned a lot right now because he's kind of got it narrowed down to a couple as well. When you get down to this level, like a Stellato, there's news, but there's not news. It's a holding pattern. We kind of know it's the final two, and those two are still battling it out, maybe with others out there, but do you find it that there's any news with Stellato, or is it just going to be just this kind of holding and waiting pattern between the Buckeyes and the Tigers?
Oh, I don't think there is tangible news necessarily, but I think you have Tyler Grisham for Clemson, Brian Hartline from Ohio State, who are both in regular communication with Stellato during this period, and you are kind of monitoring. Will the needle, does that move the needle a little more? Clemson had momentum, coming off the visit that he had this spring for the junior day earlier this month. Does that momentum continue to increase incrementally due to communications, things like that? I do think Ohio State's still very much in the competition. And he had wanted to get back, plans to get back there this summer now. But he's another one that, all right, does kind of the most, does there start to be a snowball effect just with his thinking on, all right, I'm feeling really good about Clemson, and it kind of build towards something, or does Brian Hartline convince him that, you've got to be, got to come check us out one more time? And see the reasons why you really like this the one time you visited before. So, there isn't really going to be movement there, but it is it will be interesting to see whether there is kind of an effect one way or another just on extended conversations with those two over time.
And I'm going to give you a good run right now. You walk me through DJ Uiagalelei. I got to ask you about and see how I do with this one. Emeka Egbuka. From Silicon, Washington.
Yes, I think I probably have a harder time with Silicon, his city. But Egbuka, another one. I think he's right there. Very much in the conversation for top receiver in the country. Someone that you've got. He's coming off a pretty good visit to Oregon. Washington's been involved for the longest time. Certainly, I don't think anyone ever discounts USC over that way, even if they are. Very down in recruiting. But Ohio State and Clemson are really the two, particularly the two off the West Coast, that have traction there. And I don't know that, he visited Clemson with his dad last summer, late July for the first time. And Clemson has been, May has been circled at the time where he was going to come back and visit. And so, I think Clemson is in that battle. I don't think we have a lot of clarity on between the top schools on, is he more likely to stay on the West Coast? A lot of people think Ohio State is the front runner there, and some of that might just be the fact that the receiver class that the Buckeyes pulled in last year. But I think that's another one that shapes into a potential Clemson-Ohio State battle if he's comfortable leaving the West Coast. I don't dismiss Oregon at this point either with the manner in which they're recruiting, but he's one who's kind of quiet and harder to read as well. And so I don't know that any side feels like they particularly have an advantage, but I think Clemson is very much in that one. And its next visit, whenever that comes, will be a significant at-bat for them.
Any other I know there are, but any other major storylines at wide receiver?
Well, I think given we don't know what the odds will be with Egbuka in particular, and Stellato could go in another direction, but I think that you're just kind of monitoring. I do believe Clemson will bring in two more receivers to go with Bo and Dakari Collins, and so direction that Clemson could go there, what guys Tyler Grisham will target immediately after that. Does he go for Troy Franklin out in California? I think quietly, Will Taylor at Irmo, Dutch Fork. will be in the conversation for a spot at Clemson. And there are another a handful of other candidates, certainly guys who are, you know, some who fit that their two receiver mold as quick twitch guys across the country. And then I think they're probably another take could be at any of the positions. So I think what direction they could go will be an interesting story, but right now their efforts and resources are kind of honed in on two or three guys who are really above the line there for those final spots.
Tight ends, can you see any expanding of the board there? I know Brennan Stuhl is the one that they liked and wanted. Is there a possibility that maybe you can see an oversign at tight end?
I don't think so. I believe the numbers for them are where they want them. I think the only way they add a tight end this class is if there would be unforeseen attrition with guys currently on their roster. And, you know, I don't think we have any indication of that. I think there are a number of guys that Clemson could get involved with, but right now, one was their number. Brian Stuhl was the guy they targeted. They got him. And so they're kind of, they sit on that until there would be further notice.
And then the offensive line, obviously the two big names are Lee and Rucci. You talked about those guys, and I'm not sure. Any movement there? Lee just feels like it's not close. Rucci, I know, feels like it's not close, maybe not too close right now. Any movement with those two guys at this point?
I don't feel like Rucci is necessarily that far off, but I think that the moratorium here, has certainly kind of congested, has put up a stop sign there for a little bit. I do think he will need to get back to Penn State, get back to Wisconsin before he advances his recruitment. And I think those two in Clemson are really the ones who have legit chances for him. And certainly Penn State, and, he's a legacy there, proximity, all that matters. Well, he want to create his own identity, and I think that's where fit and program profile and relationships and all that give Clemson a strong chance. His brother's at Wisconsin, everyone tells me who's close to that one that Wisconsin is legitimately in it, so I don't write them off. I just don't know how necessarily Wisconsin beats Clemson or Penn State. Someone of that caliber, even with their offensive line pedigree through time. So I think those three are really the ones for him, but until he takes those visits, I don't know. Tristan Lee, I would agree, is more of a longer range. I think since his recruitment really took off in the spring, started adding a lot of offers here after the turn of this calendar year, I think there's a part there that where he's going to want to be recruited for a while and take a lot of visits and kind of truly experience the process a little more. So I think Clemson's in as good a shape, if not better shape, than anybody right now. But I do think there could be other twists and turns, and that one is far from over.
And I know you get these asses all the time. They do have room for both. They would take both of those guys?
I do believe they would take both, yes.
Yeah, hard to turn that down.
Yeah.
we've got about 30 seconds here, Paul. A name or two, could you see another offensive lineman maybe emerging?
Well, I think if you look at Clemson's pattern over time, certainly, I think that I don't know necessarily a new name right now. I think that would be contingent upon new name surfacing in the market. I think there are already a handful of guys just kind of sitting there, They're taking their swing for Amarius Mims, the 5-star tackle out of Georgia. They still want and will effort to get him back on campus. Again, they got him for a game, early last fall. Still think that's Georgia over Alabama right now and other SEC schools, but I think Clemson's going to make the effort there. And then there are just a couple other tackles. We wrote about one from Raleigh last week, Diego Pounds. That's getting interest, increasing interest across the market. Dietrich Pennington out of Tennessee that Clemson's played host to once or twice, had him at camp last summer. Another big body type kid. So I think there are some that are already there on the back burner, and we'll see where that goes and whether Clemson feels it will need to get to them. And that's kind of where the interest comes with the, how will the timetable on Rucci and Lee go, and will Clemson feel compelled that, hey, we kind of need to expand our our horizons a little bit if we want to make sure we get one, if not two.
Tell us about TigerIllustrated.com. There's so much going on there, Paul. How can folks subscribe to the very best in Clemson coverage?
Yeah, Clemson.Rivals.com or Tiger Illustrated. Right now we've kind of got a series that's been pretty popular coming out on where we really kind of go in-depth on how Clemson recruits at each position, profiling the recruiter there, different trends for the position, you know, how those apply to the next guys that Clemson's recruiting or will be recruiting, and then how some of the analytics compare to what Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, you know, their competitors for certain recruits, and how those stack up. So we've got that going on, and Larry Williams with some different nuggets and team analysis. So, you know, it's for us, it's at least business as usual, plugging along with recruiting coverage.
No doubt about it, Tiger Illustrated. Hey, Paul, let's do some defensive board talk next week. Can't thank you enough. Enjoy the family. Enjoy the time there. And happy birthday to your oldest.
Hey, Mickey, appreciate it, sir.
All right, buddy. That's our friend Paul Strelow. Short break. We'll come back for much more right after this.
Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla, South Carolina is offering 6 months of no payments when purchasing any 2019 or new 2020 Ford car, truck, or SUV. Exclusively in conjunction with Ford Motor Company and Ford Credit, go payment-free for the first 6 months of your auto loan. Unbelievable savings during these unusual economic times. Now is the time to take advantage of these huge stimulus savings from Edwards Auto Sales. Buy or lease a new Ford and drive payment-free for the first 6 months. Visit us at edwardsautosales.net. See dealer for details. Edwards Auto Sales, the home of no dealer fees.
If you're a mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep on Congaree Road in Greenville. Each mattress is made in-house, and their showroom has the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes your mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house, and setup is free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. Visit EngineeredSleep.com for more information. That's EngineeredSleep.com. Sleep like a lamb, rise like a tiger.
Public transportation is one of the smartest things you can do to lower your carbon footprint, adopt a saner lifestyle, and save money in the process. It reduces the number of vehicles on the roads and, as a result, improves air quality, alleviates traffic jams, and noise. CatBus can help you save money, save energy, and save the planet. Serving Clemson, Seneca, Central, and Pendleton. Find out more about CatBus at CatBus.com and download the free CatBus app. Save money, save energy, save the planet. CatBus.
Grainger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Grainger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Grainger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Grainger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
When the unexpected happens and you need legal advice on how to move forward, Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick is a former state prosecutor and has been fighting for Tiger fans like you for over 20 years. Maybe you were hurt on the job or in a car accident, charged criminally, or need help with a real estate closing. Visit NickLaveryLaw.com for more information and call 864-654-3680 to schedule your free consultation. 864-654-3680. Go Tigers.
Some job recruitment sites overload your inbox with resumes. Glassdoor knows not just any will do. From 62 million job seekers, Glassdoor only matches you with qualified candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow. In fact, Glassdoor hires are 30% more likely to stay with your company longer, and Glassdoor can help you find that perfect candidate in half the resumes. Go to glassdoor.com/hire. Glassdoor. Find the right fit for your business.
This is Stacy on her motorcycle.
What an incredible view!
And this is Stacy off her motorcycle.
Does this have sucralose in it?
On her motorcycle.
Oh, the wind in my hair!
Off her motorcycle.
It's pronounced et cetera, not et cetera.
On.
Woohoo! Yes!
Off.
No.
You're better on your bike. And with basic policy starting at $75 a year, quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
We've got sports covered in Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah.
back. Glad to have you with us. Cleaning is important. Making sure that your house is sanitized is very important. At Zero Res, not only are they cleaning carpets right now, not only are they cleaning area rugs, not only are they cleaning drapes and curtains, not only are they cleaning, doing a great job of cleaning air ducts, making sure the air is clean, but they're cleaning hard surfaces now as well. ZeroResGreenville.com. Be safe. Be clean. Great specials going on right now. Mention my name on that on a nice special they have for 3 rooms and a free hallway with that. It's Zero Res Greenville, ZeroResGreenville.com. We're going to touch on a couple of subjects here as we finish up. Appreciate Paul Strela being with us. My wife wants to know, John Hite, are you watching Tiger King?
So I got just a few minutes into it the other day and realized how phenomenal this was about to be and knew the lady would be a huge fan of this as well. So I'm holding off until we can sit down and watch it.
We are the only people in America who have canceled our Netflix. We canceled, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or something because we would never watch it. We don't watch TV.
Right.
Maybe we need to re-up if this is as good as people say it is.
Like I said, I only got about 15 minutes in before I stopped it purposely to watch it later, and it was phenomenal.
I have no idea what it's about. I don't know the plot. Nothing. No idea what it's about. But we'll find out. Maybe we watch that. Also, as you can tell, John, the 13-month-old little boy right here is having a great time with Dad's phone right now. And you've probably heard him during the Paul Strela interview. Hey, Drake. Hey, Drake. Hey, Dada. Hey, Drake. Hey, Dada.
It's now becoming the best part of the show an hour through when we get Drake on here.
Yeah, it's the best part of the show. Now he's pretending like he's talking to my phone. And one of the things we do funny on the phone every single day is he takes my phone or Mary's phone. He takes our little play phone he has, and I pretend that daytime TV people call him. Now my phone is disabled, by the way. That Al Roker calls him, that Judge Judy has called him, Pat Sajak, Alex Trebek have called him, Rachel Ray's called him. So I just run out of people to say he's calling him every single day, so I started thinking about daytime people. So nice of Judge Judy to call Drake every
I mean, he's a popular guy. It's not that surprising.
Of course he is. Of course he is. I was fascinated by Paul Strela and thinking about where this Tiger recruiting is. And it feels like that Shipley's coming to a head a little bit. It feels like Stellato, maybe Rucci, maybe. Lee's not close right now. That Williams is kind of a long shot right now. But it feels like on this offensive side of the ball that we're going to see some fairly not this might be much rather than weeks. But it feels like in the summer, Clemson's going to get news on a bunch of offensive prospects, either positive or negative news on a bunch of offensive prospects coming up. Did you get that same feeling, John?
Yeah, I think this summer is going to be very telling for this recruiting class, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
We will do defense coming up with Paul next week and go over that board next week. John, I want to get to South Carolina and Clemson's thoughts here on our South Carolina and Georgia's, I should say, their thoughts. We did a bunch of Clemson stuff in hour two. I have a Georgia topic kind of and a South Carolina topic coming up. The text line, though, you said you had a question or a comment about Dave Clawson and an interesting thought about Dave Clawson maybe at South Carolina one day.
Texter gets in, Dave Clawson runs a different offense. To win at South Carolina, you're going to have to do something different and do it well, dot, dot, dot. It's not a bad idea.
You know, I don't know. I just threw it out there. I don't know why. It just kind of hit me. You know, Dave Clawson, he's a good football coach. Who knows? Maybe. And he's offensive. I think South Carolina might need some offense here at some point.
He has an identity. He has a brand. And I think if you're South Carolina, that's something that if you end up looking for a coach at the end of this year, that's something you need to be looking for.
I know we have the sneaking deacon.
What would you call that, it in Columbia?
In that Columbia, that long, drawn-out mesh point. I know children still listen to the show, so I can't say it. So I'm not going to do any of that at this point in time. All right, let me get to my South Carolina thought on the topic of the day. And this is not just for South Carolina fans. Anybody wants to check in on it, 654-ROAR, Healthcare Text Line 986-1566. John, Spurrier had the perfect storm in Columbia. The state of South Carolina was great in football recruiting at the time. The Jadeveon Clowneys, the Marcus Lattimores,
the Stephon Gilmore's big-time five-star guys were coming from the state, and South Carolina racked up on those guys. They got a generational quarterback and a Connor Shaw that was an unbelievable player. They were a top-10 program. They were winning 10 and 11 games, and at the same time, Georgia was not where Georgia currently is. Florida was not where they were under Spurrier or under Urban Meyer, and Tennessee certainly was no longer in the field former days. It was a perfect window of opportunity as South Carolina took advantage of it. Clemson was kind of in rebuilding with Dabo, just kind of starting out a little bit, won five in a row. All that's documented. That window, Spurrier once won the East, didn't win enough. To be honest with you, I don't think Spurrier took a big enough advantage and capitalized in building in what he did there. But he did have an opportunity there. As Florida gets better, as Tennessee, we think Tennessee's getting better, as witnessed by the 20-point win over Muschamp last year. As Georgia's a national power and Clemson's a national power now, is that window closed? And is it fair to judge Will Muschamp on things out of his control? He can't control Clemson. He can't control Georgia. He can't control Florida or Tennessee. Is it fair to judge Will Muschamp in that window of opportunity is not the window that Steve Spurrier had? And the state of South Carolina, by the way. There are no more Lattimores and Jeffries and Clownies that are out there in the state right now.
You can't blame him for the things that he can't control, but also he's got to do better at the things he can control. The offense has to be better. The run game has to be better. We did a large part of the show yesterday about South Carolina's ineffective run game and how it cost basically every aspect of that football team last year. So I think there's certain things he can't control, but you know he can't help that Georgia's recruiting like gangbusters. Clemson's doing the same. Florida's getting better. Tennessee is improving as well. Not much he can do about that, but he certainly has stuff that he can control as well.
I like how you said that, and one of the things he can control, and I go back to this idea that there's no Clowney, Lattimores, or Gilmores in the state right now. I'll give you that. But what Dabo Swinney has been able to do is go to California and get Uiagalelei and get Ngata and get Corey Foreman. What Dabo Swinney's been able to do is go to Massachusetts, Connecticut area, New England, and get a Christian Wilkins. To go to North Carolina, get an Dexter Lawrence. To go to Kansas and get a Isaiah Simmons. And to go to Louisiana, get a Travis Etienne. And traditionally, South Carolina has not been able to get the best players in South Carolina football history outside of George Rogers. Almost at every position. You could say came from the state of South Carolina. Now, maybe not a quarterback either, but thinking about the best players that they've had in their heyday, it was the state of South Carolina. And so, it is Muschamp's fault that they've not been able to go. Maybe a Marshawn Lloyd, maybe a Ryan Helinski, maybe those guys are that. But you need more of those guys. You need more guys on the line of scrimmage. You need more guys, more depth, and more playmakers. You need to have some playmakers on offense and at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And they've not been able to do some of that. So, yeah, I do blame him for some of that. At the same time, I watched Ray Goff fail at Georgia because Tennessee was winning national championships and Florida was winning national championships. And then I watched Tennessee fail because Georgia was getting better and Florida was winning national championships under Urban Meyer. And then you watch around it, man, it's no one wants to admit it, but what your neighbor's doing. I used to say this years ago. John, you remember, you grew up in Hilton Head, you might not remember this. You remember Yard of the Month?
Mm-mm, I do not.
All right, we've had these competitions, and I don't know who started it and how they started it, but years ago, in these neighborhoods, you'd have Yard of the Months. And when I had my recruiting magazine in the early 2000s and late 90s, mid-late 90s and early 2000s, I said, man, it's a lot easier when Yard of the Month when your neighbor's yard has weeds all in it.
Mm-hmm.
That you need, you can't have, I mean, sometimes it's a competition of it all, like Lee Trevino's trying to find out by cutting grass in that thing you told me off the air a while ago. Sometimes, you know, no matter how good your yard looks, somebody else's yard is going to look better.
Right.
And at South Carolina, I don't care how good you're going to get right now, I doubt very seriously that they can be what Georgia is right now, what Clemson is right now. So they need Clemson to go back to the Tommy Bowden days and Tommy West days, and they need They need Georgia to go back to the Jim Donnan days and the Ray Goff days, and they need Tennessee to go back to the take your pick days, the Butch Jones days or the Dooley days. They need Ron Zook to take over at Florida, because some of these things, I don't care how good that South Carolina can be, they're not going to be better than – put it this way. Let me ask you this. When the ceilings are at its highest, whose ceiling is higher, Georgia or South Carolina? Easy answer.
It's Georgia.
Florida or South Carolina?
Florida.
Tennessee or South Carolina?
It's Tennessee.
Those are three national championship-winning programs.
But if you're Will Muschamp, things you can control are beating North Carolina, beating Appalachian State, beating Missouri. You got to win those types of games.
Great point.
If we're going to give you a pass for how good Florida, Clemson, and Georgia are, and Tennessee for that matter, well, you got to be able to beat everybody else.
Great point.
Because how many other schools out there get a free pass for four games out of the season? Or three games that we're sitting here giving South Carolina a pass for?
Yeah, I said last year that now it felt weird being in Williams-Brice this past year. And not one person in the stands thought that South Carolina was going to beat Clemson. Legitimately, it was going to beat Clemson. Now, I'm not talking about the overserved guy. It was a noon game, so he couldn't go to serve them. But I'm talking about the fan that just knew the personnel. No one thought the game was going to be close. It was a morgue. It was a funeral. No one liked anything about it. It was going to be a wood chipper game, 38-3. At no point in time, they have any chance at all to win the football game. But that wasn't what, to me, and if I'm a South Carolina fan, that doesn't bother me knowing that other teams are that much better than me. What bothers me is Missouri beat me by 20 and Tennessee beat me by 20 and Appalachian State beat me. And you're right. And my biggest concern moving forward, and you can talk about injuries and all kinds of things and coaches and coordinators, all kinds of things there. But the fact that App State came in your building and beat you, and the fact that Tennessee beat you by 20 and Missouri beat you by 20.
App State game, they had a wide open play to win the game in the end zone.
Yep, couldn't
Brian Edwards was wide open.
Couldn't do it. And maybe that is Will Muschamp. I don't know. We're going to year 9 of it now. In the Florida and the South Carolina days, maybe that's just who he is. Maybe he's a coordinator. Maybe. Interesting stuff, John Hite. 3424. We're going to take our final break. We'll come back. Let's talk about the Scott Cochran stuff. Also, Major League Baseball wants the players and the owners are wanting a June startup date. What can that look like? We'll take a break, come back, and wrap that up. Hey, Urban Nirvana, urbannirvana.com. I got asked on Twitter yesterday, is Urban Nirvana who we advertise for in the station, and we do. That's who my wife goes and enjoys. You know, she's working her butt off right now at school and all these video conferences that she's having with teachers and with kids and trying to check in on kids and check in on teachers and administrators. And when this thing settles down for her birthday, she's got a nice gift card over at Urban Nirvana. I've been, John, you know, you've given this as a gift as well. If you are worried these things don't expire for some time, so those are great. But, you know, you want to send somebody a little nice thank you note, maybe a little Urban Nirvana gift card. Do it online. It's easy. It's simple. You can email it to them. You don't even have to see them. You don't have to touch them. You can keep your social distancing. Just send them an Urban Nirvana gift card. This is easy and awesome. Locations in Charleston and Columbia and Lexington and Greenville, two in Greenville. Spas and salons at urbannirvana.com. Final segment of the show right after this.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Warm weather is ahead. That means look out for those summer thunderstorms we see in the upstate every year. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree branches leave you in the dark. Be prepared. with a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Pro Power Premier dealer, ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
Support a local business and order from the Blue Heron in Pendleton for curbside pickup. From 4 till 9 p.m. daily, pick a delicious meal and avoid the crowds. Enjoy any of their menu favorites or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Charred grilled filet mignon, shrimp and cheddar cheese grits, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? Check out the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials. To place your order, call 864-653-3354 for the Blue Heron.
The Mattress Outlet in Seneca is the number one stop and shop for a brand new Serta or Beautyrest mattress at the lowest prices around. Springtime is a great time for something new, and the Mattress Outlet has come to be the kind of place you can trust to have great selection and tremendous prices. Come in and let the outlet's experienced staff guide you in finding your new mattress today. Open 7 days a week, the Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Goodwill and Chick-fil-A.
Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla, South Carolina, in conjunction with Ford Motor Company, is excited to announce 0% financing for 84 months through Ford Credit on all remaining 2019 models. That's right, free money for 84 months. Talk about low payments, interest-free. 2019 Edges, F-150s, Mustangs, Rangers, Ford's entire 2019 lineup, including Super Duties. Take advantage of this incredible offer exclusively at Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla, South Carolina. Visit us at edwardsautosales.net. See dealer for details. The home of no dealer fees.
Lowe's Pro Bonus Days are back with 5 days of pro-grade deals to help you save big now through Friday, March 27th. Check out DeWalt's new lineup of 20-volt Max XR tools featuring Power Detect. And during Pro Bonus Days, save $100 on a DeWalt 20-volt Max XR with Power Detect brushless cordless drill and impact driver combo kit, now just $299. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Tool offer valid through 4-1. U.S. only while supplies last.
Become a Roar Insider. Get the scoop with the Roar newsletter and a chance to win prizes. Log on to WCCPFM.com and click on the newsletter banner from the Roar.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. Out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch, but it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy?
Final segment of the show. I hope you're not going crazy. I hope you're hanging in there. And John, you know what? It's not that hard. John Haidt showed us today that just watch some Jimmy Buffett concerts and Zoom with your friends. I'm going to tell you, John, I tried to give you a lot of credit here. And as smart as you are and as innovative as you are and as adaptive as you are, why am I doubting that this was not your idea, that somebody else thought of this idea?
In no way was it my idea. If you think I'm smart, she's a heck of a lot smarter than I am. So this is all her.
Okay. Well, good.
I just asked, what time do I need to be there and what can I bring to help?
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. She did a great job with that, for sure. Yeah. A couple of things. Let me mention here in the final segment. Tomorrow's show, Josh Williams is going to be back with us tomorrow. We've got making sure that Josh is going to have some interesting information. I'm talking to him tonight about that. Our Jinx Heat Realty Hunting and Fishing Report is tomorrow. And it's Legends Friday again, buddy. Legends Friday, the bar was raised last week when Billy Ware and his beautiful bride Claudia came over and they bought us 5 pounds of freshly caught shrimp from down in the low country.
Mm.
And so when Jim Riggs comes on tomorrow, I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe build me a pool in the backyard? I think that'd be a good thing for him to do.
You got to put those shrimp somewhere.
Yeah, we had the shrimp last night.
Yeah.
And let me tell you about one of the delicacies of this world. My brilliant, beautiful wife said, on the way home, go by the grocery store and get some of that Red Lobster biscuits. biscuit mix.
Oh, dude, that's the way to go. That is the way to go.
Heaven. I don't know why I don't go to Red Lobster more often, but whoever decided to package this and let you make it at home, oh, man. Talk to me. That's just fantastic, man. That's just amazing. Let me get this to you here, John. I'll give it again. Jim Riggs is going to join us tomorrow. Clemson Hall of Famer and 7-year NFL vet with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Washington Redskins. So we'll talk about his Clemson career and what he's doing now and his family and his sons and their college football and all that kind of stuff coming up. All right. A couple things here in this final segment. One, Major League Baseball, it's been 2 weeks since they suspended their operations. Today should have been Major League Baseball's opening day. That hurts to know. But there's decent news out here on this case. According to ESPN's Jeff Passan, the league and union continue to negotiate through certain matters like the delayed season, the compensation, what that looks like, service time calculators. You know, there are all these things that arise, potential schedule alterations. All these things are arising. Like, you know, one guy, is his calculations, his service time, does his latest stuff count or not? They're working through all this. The best case scenario for baseball this season appears to be an early June launch to the season. The league and union are said to be hopeful that they can that can happen. Whether or not that proves to be true is optimistic. Who knows? But they'd like to have an early June scenario. That means camps would be returning in early May. So, John Haidt, we've never done a lot of spring training baseball games on the show.
Boy, will we.
We will be breaking down spring training baseball like never before. Cactus League, Grapefruit League breakdowns, buddy. We'd have them here, no doubt about that.
I honestly cannot wait to break down spring training baseball. And I never thought I would say that. But, you know, at least on a positive note, that yesterday was supposed to be opening day. At least my Pirates won't lose today, so I've got that going for me.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
You can't lose on opening day if you don't play.
Players are open to doubleheaders as far as making up schedules and flattening out schedules and things like this. They're entertaining empty stadium games and running the regular season through the end of October, which means we're getting into November now for baseball, depending on where they go and all that stuff. So, I still believe this, man. I think that we might have – I'm trying to look at my crystal ball, and I don't know because let's just be clear. I don't pretend like I know anything here. But I'm just trying to think of the possibilities. And I keep thinking this. I keep saying this. I keep thinking the key to the whole deal are the meds to help the symptoms. And if we have these meds to help the symptoms, we don't have to have ventilators and the hospitals aren't overcrowded and we get back to work and people can take these meds and feel better in a day or two rather than the you know having to go to the hospital and get on ventilators. All right. With that said, if that is the case and we can these meds are working and then we can get back to some semblance of life, maybe we don't have full stadiums at first. Maybe for baseball, basketball, and hockey, maybe we limit seating. Maybe we still social distance at the game. Maybe it's no fans at all. And then maybe it's just we're going to let in the first 5,000 in a 50,000-seat stadium so we can all sit 6 feet apart and not have to touch each other. One per row kind of thing where our legs don't touch each other, hands don't touch each other as we're making our way out. I don't know. I don't know what it looks like, what the vending looks like. I don't know those things. But maybe we start out so we move towards something bigger later. So hopefully, fingers crossed, a early June startup for regular season and early May spring training. John, is that, in your opinion, is that too optimistic? Is that too dangerous at this point in time in your mind? Can you at least fathom those kind of dates?
Yeah, I can see. I don't think in these times that you can be too optimistic.
I love it, dude. I love it.
Why not be optimistic? Why not hope and pray that we get everything to somewhat of a normal state in order so that we could get spring training in May and play in June. I don't understand why not, but you know, we're taking, you know, a week at a time right now. That's all we can do. But yeah, absolutely. I think there's a chance at that.
Well,
and they're doing everything they can in which to make that happen. But obviously, there's more important things that have to fall into place before we can get that back.
Can we also say, and again, I don't know what the bell-shaped curve is going to look like. Again, I'm not trying to pretend I do. But can we also say that because of the things that we're currently seeing, and now I don't know what it's going to look like in these places, like I said, in June, but that maybe we don't play games in New York or Seattle or L.A. Maybe we can – maybe we just play just – spring training stadiums for the first part, maybe, rather than going there. Or maybe, how about this? Maybe we have World Series games or playoff games where there's not fans and we can go down to Florida. If we're talking about November and it's too cold to be playing outside in Yankee Stadium, maybe we go down to Tampa and play the World Series, just have it on TV. I mean, again, this is crazy and thinking. I never thought I'd ever mention this in a million years, but – even a World Series with no fans or in a smaller ballpark in Florida sounds better than freezing cold in New York. I don't know. I just think that there's some – let's open up all possibilities and think outside the box totally on this thing, just to get them going again.
Well, first off, awfully homer, you do expect that the Yankees are going to be in the World Series. But I think that if we can – you know, joking aside, if we can play games in the summer where the Little League World Series is – last year it was like the Pirates and the Phillies, something played, you know, in Williamsport.
Yeah.
If we can play major league games in those type of stadiums, and if we're not going to have fans, who's to say we can't play it at any minor league ballpark across the country?
Yeah. And who knows how long fans are going to be played there and out. And I mean, who knows? Maybe fans come back on opening day in June. I don't know those things. But I think it's on the table, at least on the table at this point. I do like what the commissioner of baseball said yesterday. We've talked about the commissioner of the NBA and saying that there's a role for this. And the more and more I talk to people off the air, on the air, text messages, Twitter, the more and more I talk to some of these folks, the more I see it that, you know, sports plays a huge role. This is only the second time, John, I'm reminded of this. But when Chris White, great friend of the show, they had the situation with their family and they lost a beautiful child. And he talked about how, and he knew, you know, throughout all this is happening. And I said, man, sports are stupid. This is crazy. We overemphasize that. And he called in one morning and goes, no, man, it's my diversion. It's so important to me that I could take a few minutes a day to think about something else rather than the other things that are going on. And especially now, John, because there's going to be, you know, the job losses and the economy stuff going on and these other things that are out there, man, we've got a role to play in sports. And the diversion away from the real world problems of who's going to be your fifth starter is a big issue again, rather than are we going to be able to go to the grocery store today?
Yeah.
I did see a great meme the other day that said, this time last year we were talking about what bathrooms people could use. Maybe we were just making up issues that weren't really there now that we have these issues in front of us. So interesting. Interesting. Brad Hughes is my Allstate agent. I'm in good hands with Brad Hughes. I'm in good hands with Allstate. I can call him at 292-3001. I can email him, bradhughes@allstate.com. I can get in touch with bradhughesinsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates, thanks to all those at Brad Hughes and Brad Hughes Allstate Insurance Agency. I want to forgive a certain segment of people, John, on this part of the show. And I'm trying to think like Brad Hughes thinks right now. Brad's a very optimistic thinker. I'm trying to think of him right now and think of this. You and I agree upon this. Good news is out there. You just have to search for it a little bit. Have you noticed, though, that there's a segment of people out there that want to – I don't want to say want this thing to happen. I don't think they want it to happen, but that they're reveling in this all this information, and if anybody points out a positive, that they love saying, like, what do you realize how many people are dying right now? Have you noticed that on social media you'll see it? And maybe I think that's a personality thing. I think there's a term for it. I don't know this off the top of my head, but there's someone that always wants to point out the negative and always wants to be the and maybe that's just because that's what our media is telling them at all points in time. But if anybody points out any – like I tell you this, there's a guy I follow online that has said the last 3 days less people have died in Italy. And yet you look down under the responses and it's like, well, do you understand other parts of the world people are dying like crazy still? I'm like, yeah, that's not what the guy said, man. I'm trying to find a little positive, a little light, dude. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find a little bit of light, and that's okay. I know that you still want to present that darkness to me, but it's okay, isn't it?
to point out that fewer people are dying in certain places of the world, and that 130,000 people have recovered from this so far. That's okay, right?
There's nothing wrong with focusing on the positive things in life.
Not according to some folks, buddy. I'm going to forgive those folks, man. Because maybe, John, that's just who they are about all of life. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this too, buddy, but think about this. How many times do we see a snowstorm and this might be, or a hurricane that might be coming, and these doom and gloomers, man, it's like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And the rest of us are going, well, I'm kind of going to spend some time with my family. I'm kind of just going to do what I can do, and I'll kind of react to it once it gets here, and I'll kind of do the best rather than, oh, my God, a storm is coming. Maybe I'm just going to do what I always do. I'm just going to be positive and have some faith in my religion and my creator and my savior, and everything's just going to be okay. Maybe I can just do that a little bit.
Preach it.
Hate to rain on your parade. Maybe we just do that. Hey, two-minute drill. Skip the music, buddy. What do you have for me for 2 minutes today?
ACC Network is continuing to keep our football fix going. Today they have five games on, starting at 9 a.m., Miami, Florida State, Wofford and Clemson at noon, Virginia, North Carolina at 3, Florida State, Boston College at 6, and Louisville at Miami at 9 o'clock tonight.
I love that. My two-minute drill, Eric Newton, for all of your real estate needs. It's my great friend, EricNewton.com. Anything you need, I know he's here to help you. I know they're open for business, and he can show you some stuff and email you some pictures and all that kind of stuff. So think about that, EricNewton.com. She's going to kill me because I'm not supposed to say anything, and she's kept discouraging me from saying anything about it. But my wife, the last day, has worked on it. She's buying the lunches for the bus drivers that are providing lunches for our kids, and she's doing it at a local place there at their school, local restaurant, and so and they're going to take care of all that today. I think that's really cool, and she's going to kill me because I mentioned that on the air. She didn't want anybody to know that, so good stuff there. John Hite, great job. Let me thank Paul Strelo once again. Let me thank our caller sponsors, listeners, texters, tweeters, emailers, Brad and Ben up next. Folks, have a wonderful Thursday. More importantly, tune in tomorrow. Watch what we see on the radio.
Broadcasting live from the Priority One Security Studios, WCCP 105.